Coming up on today's show.
When I realized that feeling that I had, when I knew that my words had carried me across an ocean, that was happening with these other songwriters, that is the gold. That is the beauty of it.
I threw up this morning in Christiansburg, VA. I drove down from PA, slept in my van. And I can still taste the whiskey from the last fool that kissed me. And the people who miss me, I can count on one hand.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on location at the Radio Sobro Studios in Nashville, my guest is a singer, songwriter, guitar player who is also the founder of Nashville Nights, which we will talk about today. He has written thousands of songs and had several publishing deals, and his story includes overcoming surgery on his vocal cords. He is a multiple Grammy, ACM, CMA, Golden Guitar, and Dove nominated songwriter and had 23 singles in the last year alone. During the month of May, he will be in Europe performing a number of shows in Denmark. He was previously a guest on this show back on episode 434, almost 2 years ago, in June 2022. You've been hearing a song that he co-wrote called 6th of October by Ashley McBride. Welcome back to Now Hear This Entertainment, Blue Foley.
Hi, Bruce. It is so good to be back.
No doubt.
Can you hear the smile in my voice?
Great to have you here. As I mentioned, we're closing in on 2 years since you were on the show. And some people say, that's not that long. But, man, you have had so much happen since then.
It has been a journey.
Before we get into all that, though, let's have you start off by telling the audience about the song that was just playing called 6th of October.
Well, the cool thing, it was the first time I got to be in Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh.
I wasn't on the cover, but I was in the back. So the 6th of October is a song that was cut by Ashton McBride on Warner Brothers. And it's about our friend Randall. And I wrote that song with Ashton McBride and CJ Field. And what was really beautiful, there's some cool serendipity with it. First of all, on CBS in the morning, it was October 5th when they told her that she was going to be inducted into the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
And it was also on that same day that it was Garth Brooks that did that induction. They did a televised call and kept a surprise.
Mm.
So then fast forward a year, and on October 6th, which was the actual passing when Randall had passed, that's when Ashley kicked off her own headlining tour in 23 of this year. And then, of course, it is the 8th song that I've got to see performed at the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
And so it's been a journey with the 6th
wow.
of October.
Wow.
It's great.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool. And there's going to be a number of times throughout this interview when I'm going to insist that people go back and listen to the first interview that we did. And I know that we talked about him then, but because you said October 6th was the date that he passed.
That's right.
Just let people know. And again, please listen to the first interview, but tell the folks.
I would love
for this one, who he was. And
yes,
yeah,
18 years, my best friend. Met him 2 months after I moved to Nashville. He was my ride or die shotgun rider, and lived together all those years. And we were on a bunch of great records together. We wrote Tired of Being Happy together, which got nominated for our first Grammy on Ashley McBride's record. But the other cool thing is I did a posthumous tribute record that will be out going to the world on March 7th. So we're really going to honor Randall's memory. Ashley's on that record. Dan Smalley, there's some great people on that record.
Awesome.
And that's
awesome.
Who Randall was.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Folks, like I said, absolutely, please go back and listen to the first interview that Blue and I did together. On the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, I'm going to put a link to that. Not only was it highly entertaining, but it will give you some important background that we're not going to repeat this time around. For example, Blue, you talked back then about the decision that you made at one point in your career to not pursue being out front as the artist, but instead to really have songwriter as your main vocation. Having laid that groundwork, songwriter Blue Foley, talk to me about the accolades versus the money.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Without biting the hand that feeds you, I'm going to say this is how it was with the accolades. The phone didn't start ringing off the hook, but they started picking up when I called. So that was a big difference. And it does accelerate your career. I'm not knocking it at all. But there really is something substantial about getting that number one. And there's definitely a number one club that I have found, because even as many of the accolades as I have received, it puts me in that top 1% of those songwriters. But at the same time, it's amazing the level of respect and the difference when you have that number one. It's just a different world. It was kind of surprising to me. And it's, again, you mentioned earlier in the introduction, those 23 singles come into play with that also as an aspect of the difference between having accolades versus having that big money hit.
But when you say you were surprised by it, I would think, and I don't like to use the word assume, I would think that as you got settled into Nashville and had been living here and were getting the reps, that you would have started to hear about something like that, no?
Well, it's kind of a process you discover on your own, in the regard that as I started to receive the accolades and gain status, prowess as a writer in town with a great reputation, I found that there was still a glass ceiling. And it surprised me. I thought that it wouldn't be such a closed off environment. But it's ironic how, without sounding too paranoid, it seems like you kind of have to get that number one on your own, and then the doors swing wide open, is kind of the vibe that was surprising to me.
And what I'm also hearing in there is you start to do well, you start to get the accolades, but, and this is a good thing, you don't get comfortable because you go, oh, there's more room to still keep going up. Like, I'm really proud of myself and people are saying good things. And I think it's kind of some good affirmation, but I have higher that I can and should push myself to go.
That's exactly right. And don't get me wrong. It's not that I am not grateful or not that I do not feel accomplished. I do, but it was surprising. You know, you just start out wanting the best, whatever that may be. And as you start to climb those ladders, you start to realize it's a really high ladder.
There was somebody that I met many, many, many years ago, and he wasn't even in the business, and he came up with this idea for a show that Fox picked up. And as soon as Fox picked it up, it's like you said, he was getting calls of saying, what other ideas do you have?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm just a guy who, you know, and literally, like the phone calls, okay, let me see what else I can come up with. And I can kind of see the phone starts to ring and they go, Blue, congrats on XYZ. What else are you working on? What can we be a part of?
It's true that, like I said, the floodgates open when you have that next upcoming single with so-and-so, or you can announce that you just got the cut. And it's surprising to me how fickle and how fast it fades, you know, and it's not like all of a sudden that nomination goes away or something like that. It's just, it was a real lesson about the industry, really.
You don't have to comment on this if you don't want to, but it's making me think of the people that are still hanging on to, I was on American Idol, I was on The Voice, I was on whatever, 12 years ago. It's like, okay, but it's a what have you done for me lately business.
It really is, and I'm happy to speak to it. The reality of it is you start to find out as you go along in this industry that the way to lead is with your heart and with kindness, no matter what, because when you do that, it comes back in spades. Now, it set me up to be taken advantage of several times, and it would be easy to say that there is, honestly, there is a part of me that is very jaded about that. But at the end of the day, my mindset, I can choose to focus on how I got done wrong, or I can choose to focus on what is the next cut? Mm-hmm. What is the next part of my journey that is exciting? And turn towards those people that I have that reciprocal energy with.
And I just want to add in for the audience, guess what? At this point in time, a lot of people can say they're on American Idol. A lot of people can say they're on The Voice. A lot of people can say they're on America's Got Talent. Just like a lot of people can say, I had a hit back in this year here, or I've written X number of songs. That's great, and I'm not taking anything away from it, but dot, dot, dot. So shifting gears a little bit, it's going back to what Blue is talking about. I'm saying shifting gears away from reality TV. Blue gave me permission to bring this up. So just so everyone knows, this one is going to be rather eye-opening. You hear me a lot on this show using the expression teaching moment. Well, get ready, because Blue, as much as I absolutely want to say congratulations on 23 singles in the last year alone, you are open to talking about what the financial side of that has looked like.
Very much so. So again, one major label cut with Ashley in 23, ironically the year 23, but also 23 singles between the starting of year 23 and now. I've had 4 or 5 in 24 thus far. So a total of 23. But the point is, absolutely, my BMI statement just showed up. Not one penny. Not one penny, Bruce. Not I got $4. Not one penny, because those singles are independent releases. And how those are paid out is master's ownership. The game, it's not changing. It's changed. And it happened so fast that now I actually have our attorney with Nashville Nights Publishing designing a one sheet that will request a percentage of masters. Because yes, publishing money, somewhat, if it's placed somewhere in a synchronization situation, or if it actually goes to a Clear Channel performance radio station, okay, or a Cumulus radio station, the big FMs, if you will, or if it singles on something like XM. But even when it's added to Spotify playlists or Apple playlists, if you take the total spins that I have with those 23 singles, it's almost 10 million.
Oh, gosh.
If I had master ownership on that at 20%, I would have made roughly $100,000.
Oh.
So it hurts really bad to know that all those artists are benefiting from the songs I have written with them, and I am not financially. I can no longer afford that path.
So let me put you on the spot.
Sure.
You said that you're having the attorney draft up the one sheet. So is there not a hesitation of, I know this is the right thing to do, but I wonder how many people are going to say, oh, never mind, I'll just write with someone else then.
Well, the good thing is I'm in a catbird seat, if you will, because if that means I give up singles that aren't making me money anyway, I still have great relationships with Ashley McBride, Mitchell Tenpenny, John Party, people that are in that major label model that still have songs placed on the big FM or XM radio stations, and I can generate airplay money in that regard. So what that means is I will no longer be writing anything with an independent artist at all, ever. As soon as that one sheet comes out, when I start setting up my calendar, I'm going to email them a copy of the one sheet. If they agree, then we set the date. If they don't, I do not.
Right, right. So it's not, I'm not going to be writing with independents anymore. It's, I'm not going to be writing with them unless they sign.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's simply because how that occurred, how I found out about that was I was sitting at a writer's retreat talking with some independent artists that were pulling down $200,000 a year. And I was like, how are you guys doing that? I've never even heard of you. And they were like, bro, we own our masters. And I was like, okay, teach me. Oh, great one. So that's how I found out. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to say it again. Go back and listen to episode 434, and you will hear, among other things, that Blue is not originally from here, but you have lived here long enough now, Blue, to see that this town, as you started to say, will make you jaded.
It can. It can. Jaded is a choice. It's a choice. And I, like I said, just like I explained to you, I'm not mad about what's happened in the independent world, because truly it's a wild west frontier, and it's so exciting because the truth is it's still an amazing bragging point to be able to say 23 singles, not cuts. This is stuff that independent artists believe enough to put their own money behind, get the master done, and get it out to any platform that they could. I've got mad respect for that. But the choice to say I can't do that anymore is because financially I can't. I'm not necessarily jaded. I'm just going a different direction.
So for someone who's listening to our interview and they have been considering moving to Nashville, they're going to say, well, maybe I shouldn't move there now based on what Blue Foley is describing. Maybe I just shouldn't even be doing it from here in insert location here after all, and I should just give up music.
Not at all. Follow your heart. Here's why. The reality of it is the social media platform can absolutely still launch a career. Now, labels are no longer gobbling up a TikTok star because they're realizing their well isn't deep enough and they're just not prepared for what it actually takes to go out on the road 365 days a year. But not to say that they're not. Look at Oliver Anthony. Oliver Anthony is doing very, very well. Blew up on TikTok, the whole thing. Okay. My point is, it's not as necessary to move to Nashville anymore. Really what it is get a regional following, make sure that you're seasoning yourself with touring and things like that, and then build a social media platform, build your numbers, because it's ironic. There's a lot of major label artists that if you go up against somebody that has an Instagram following, that major label artist cannot put those butts in the seats like that independent artist with the social media following can. So it's an interesting dynamic right now.
Wow, for sure. And it's also, I'm not telling you to not move to Nashville. I'm just telling you, be educated on this stuff, know what you're up against, and by all means, please come here.
Yeah, I would for sure in this regard. From the songwriting aspect, it's still immensely valuable because you can't pitch a penny and not hit a songwriter. So in that regard, you will absolutely improve your craft just because you're around people that love to do it as much as you do. But if you're looking at an artist route or different things like that, there is really an entirely new frontier.
I will talk about 3 weeks ago in the show, I interviewed Samantha Marie, who now lives in Los Angeles. She moved there from Florida, and we did talk about the things that she's able to do living in LA that when it was a case of she lived in Florida, it was, okay, the next time I'm out there, and we should meet sometime. Whereas you're living in LA, you go, oh, an opportunity to play at the Hotel Cafe next Saturday night? Sure. What time should I come over there? As opposed to, boy, Hotel Cafe is a big opportunity. I guess I'm going to fly across the country because that's a really great venue. When you're here in Nashville and someone goes, man, I would write with you if you were here, but then you go, maybe I need to at least spend more time there, if not move there.
You make a great point, Bruce, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. The opportunity is exponentially larger for someone that's in a town that is driven by music. And Nashville is still definitely that town.
Nicely said. Nicely said. It was way, way back on episode 222 when I interviewed Scott Page, saxophonist, guitarist for the likes of Supertramp, Pink Floyd, Toto, among others. And that was almost 6 years ago, May of 2018. And yet already way back then, he was talking about blockchain. And Blue, in your case, you have a vision for the future as it relates to songwriters, masters, and here comes the tie into Scott Page, NFTs.
Oh, Bruce, I literally, can you see the goosebumps? A friend of ours is sitting and watching this interview, and I just looked at him and mouthed, I love you so much, Bruce, because this is the kind of platform that I really want to start this message. It would be so simple. Blockchain technology is the answer. Through simply registering a blockchain code to the original creation of a song and tying the two together, you can forever have an evergreen residual resource of your song. You don't need a publisher. You don't need a label. You don't need anything other than that NFT, and it can be defined as your intellectual property. I cannot wait as we move forward with all the exciting stuff going with Nashville Nights to bring that into the forefront, because what it is going to do is it is going to change the journey for songwriters. They will start being able to capture the credit they are due.
But what do you say to the guy or the gal in Kansas City who hears this and says, I have this thing called fear of the unknown. I don't know about that kind of stuff. I hear about NFTs and I hear about blockchain. I don't know what any of that means. So I'm just going to stick to what I do know. And hopefully that'll work out for me.
Yeah. Again, a good point. It's going to take a while for people to even process what I just said in this interview.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that just sounded like a bunch of garbledygook. But the reality of it is, when people understand how simple it could be to permanently make record that you are the sole original creator of this piece of art, okay? Give you an example. Can you imagine if there was a blockchain NFT technology on the original right with Willie Nelson's Crazy?
Oh, gosh.
Okay. We have that opportunity now. And when songwriters start to see that through some simple organization and some simple process, just like you would use an app on your phone, register your song with BMI in the traditional models, you can do the exact same thing.
And if you're willing to venture onto copyright.gov and say, I'm not an attorney, but I think I can figure this out on my own. Well, then why wouldn't you try to figure it on your own? Or I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Blue does have a very giving spirit. Once I start giving out where you can find him online, I'll bet you if you contacted him, he might charge you a small fee for his services. But if you say to him, I heard your interview on Now Hear This Entertainment, can you teach me, can you kind of help me get started with this NFT stuff? I'm putting words in your mouth, but I got to believe you'd be willing to help people out at a consult.
A resounding absolutely yes. And just to let you know where I currently am in that process, just like I'm working with our lawyer to develop a one sheet for X amount of percentage of masters, I'm also having the exact same lawyer define completely new terminology and technology. So we still have a hard learning curve to get through, but the process is started and underway.
Nice, nice. One more question under the songwriter umbrella, and then we'll move on.
Sure.
What insight can you share as far as finding a champion?
Oh, it is to rise above, to get to the cream of the crop, and to be in that environment, it is critical. And that's why you always lead with love and kindness, because that is what will draw that champion to you. The example, you have an upcoming interview with Russell. And I don't know that he submitted this as a talking point, but Russell is one of these gentlemen that on his own.
Russell Sutton, by the way, audience,
yes,
for the record.
On his own, wrote the song with the other co-writers, My Boy, number one for Elvie Shane. That resulted in him leaving his first publishing deal and signing with someone that had stepped away from a huge job at Sony, Jim Katina, starting their own publishing company and specifically choosing Russell. And the beautiful thing of having that champion is Jim has a fantastic reputation in town and 20 years of exemplary service. Russell is in all those right rooms now because of that. Now, don't get me wrong. Russell earns his keep as a songwriter.
Sure.
But that is a quintessential epitome example of having a champion that can really make things help a songwriter in that regard.
I want you to define for the audience the difference, because we're using the word champion. A couple weeks ago, I was a speaker in Orlando at PodFest Multimedia Expo, and I sat in on a session where someone was up on stage doing a presentation, very, very accomplished business consultant, and he talked about being a mentor to people, and someone in the audience raised their hand, and he called on that person, and the fella says, will you be my mentor? And he says, I don't know, maybe, let's talk later. But he's asking him to be his mentor. You're talking about a champion. They're two different things.
Yeah, I would say like this. You seek a mentor, a champion finds you. So I think that would be a fundamental defining difference. And how you, like I said, draw that champion to you is you just nose to the grindstone, and everybody that you meet, you're damn glad to meet them.
Is it a case, though, of going back to what we started out early in the interview, once you start having that success, or is it a champion might see the effort and the potential and the talent and still come to
it
you anyways?
It happens at any stage in the game. And I encourage, even at the smallest level, it is critical to have somebody that believes in you. My friend Matt Rogers taught me something just the other day that I have now completely adopted into my vernacular. Belief is a currency.
Wow. tell him to copyright that.
Yeah, you'll be interviewing him as well.
Put it on a t-shirt, put it on a coffee mug. That's cool.
That's right.
I'm joined today on location at the Radio Sobro Studios in Nashville by singer, songwriter, guitar player Blue Foley. If you go to bluefoley.com, that's going to put you onto his very hardy link tree, which I think is brilliant because it's too clumsy, especially on an audio-only interview, to give out a URL for someone's link tree. So on the show page for this episode, on my podcast website, nhte.net, I'm going to put the bluefoley.com link so you can get to his link tree. Be sure to note that at the bottom of the link tree, you will see the Instagram logo, the link, as well as those for Facebook and YouTube as well. I love doing this podcast every week. I'm really proud to have hit the 10-year anniversary on February 17th. I love talking with a different guest each week. But what I really want is to talk with you, the audience, not at you. We don't have to, but we could talk about this podcast. We don't have to, but we could talk about podcasting. Maybe you're starting one or want to start one or have one and are kind of stuck in mud, or maybe you want to pick my brain as a publicist, or perhaps you want to tap into something else from my 20 years of working with indie music artists. The bottom line is I am reachable for voice calls through the OWL app. The privacy element is there, meaning I'm not trying to get your phone number so I can call you or text you, but it's so much more personable than email or social media DMs. Read more about it by going to my podcast website, nhte.net, and then click anywhere it says home, and then read the article under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in there to download OWL for free from the App Store or Google Play. I also have my invitation code in there, which you're going to need when you're setting up OWL on your phone because that's a required field. Get it installed and then call me and we will chat for 10 minutes longer if you want or need. Blue, I have to commend you, but at the same time encourage the audience to check this out, especially those of you who are creators and struggle with what to post. Blue, you have been doing themed Instagram posts by day of the week. Blue Monday, Truth Tuesday, Flashback Friday, Sober Saturday. Bravo, my friend. Bravo. I love it.
That was a surprise. I didn't know you were going to spring that one on me. Thank you. Here's why I say thank you. Right now, I am on a content creation journey. I am fine-tuning and learning, but ironically enough, it is more about so that when I can meet somebody, I can tell them, really, there are little nuggets in each one of those posts at every day that will help you with the craft of songwriting. And that's really what the behind-the-scenes move is between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it also gives me a chance to celebrate my sobriety in unique kind of ways, with Sober Saturday, Sunday Fun Day. Those are intentional behind the scene looks at fun things that I get to do sober, because a lot of people in this business struggle with alcoholism or drug use or any addiction. Mm-hmm. And that's the weekend part of my campaign. And then the weekday part of my campaign is to help other songwriters.
And you do something called songwriter shout outs.
Yes.
Which, because I've gotten to know you, is very much a reflection of who you are.
100%.
That you are living in gratitude, that you do realize that there's so many people that are a part of what you do, and it's your way of lifting other people up just because it's who you are, but as you said before, because you know it's going to come back to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it came from a very natural, organic place. I have been a fan of and a OG Freak Show member forever, you know, Terry Joe Box, amazing songwriter, just won her first Grammy for the Lainey Wilson Project. But point is, I used to sit there, and where songwriter shout outs came from is I would be compelled and just songwriter when I heard someone that had created something that was like, they would get the one finger salute because I wish I wrote that. That was the highest compliment that I could pay, was a songwriter shout out with a middle finger salute.
Wow. I want to transition over to so much that you're doing with Nashville Nights, because wow, it has really grown since you were first on the show just under 2 years ago. The first part of that is just talk about songwriter touring under the Nashville Nights banner.
So, you know, in Nashville, and it's exponentially exploded with all the hotels and everything that's developing, I would dare say, and I mean, this is my best guess, so there's no factual evidence behind this. But I would dare say on any given Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Nashville, there is probably now 40 or more songwriter nights happening.
Tell the audience how big my eyes just got when you said that.
Yeah, and I'm serious. The reason why is because, you know, when you tick on the algorithms in social media, you get that back more. So I'm always hearting those songwriter nights and doing likes and commenting on them so that I get them in my feed because that's honestly how I find great songwriters to go on our songwriting touring. Mm. So basically what it is, if it can be that popular in this town, and we've seen this, we started it in Denmark 4 years ago, and then through that experience realized there's something really unique about what those nights are. And the simple idea of songwriter touring is we take that Nashville experience to your backyard.
But I've come to know you well enough when you talk about this privately with me that you are also a big believer in making sure these songwriters get paid what they should be getting paid for sitting on a stage and playing the songs they've written.
Amen.
Which is different, you know, from what we were talking about earlier with the Not One Penny from 23. This is, hey, if I'm going to go out and play a show somewhere, like, don't just say, I can't pay you, but I can give you a bar tab.
Exactly. Thank you again, Bruce. And truthfully, that is what it's about. All levels of the game, meaning anybody that is good to multiple number ones, or multiple Grammy accolades, etc., can go with us as a 3-pack or a 6-pack, you know, packaged show and get paid to play their original music. And that is on a scale. If you're new, you're not going to get paid as much as Lee Thomas Miller, who has 14, 15, 16 number ones, but you could still go on the same package with him and meet Lee Thomas Miller and create those kind of opportunities.
Yeah. And learn from people like that. Sticking with Nashville Nights, this one might be a bit of a repeat from our first interview back on episode 434, but I think it's important that you talk now about the festival itself.
Yeah. So where we're at, we're coming into our fourth year now. And in our third year, we actually broke even and made a very small profit, which usually it takes a festival statistically 5 to 7 years. So that's very, very exciting. And of course, new information, because when we spoke 2 years ago, we were buried underneath it. But the point is, the festival is still growing strong. We've really worked a lot of the kinks out. So now there is a smooth operation that is starting to happen to where the writers that get to join us and go to Europe, Denmark, and do the shows are having the times of their lives. And it's creating stars. And here's what I mean. Dan Smalley came in 23, and we had a full band work with Dan, sold out a 750 capacity room in a beautiful theater called Magazina, now is coming back in the summer with just his guitar.
Wow.
6 shows, 2 of them are sold out, and he had to add a second one in this particular area because it sold out and sold out again.
Wow.
So really some positive results from the festival.
There's something that you do that I admire because it's rather courageous, which is having to tell these fellow songwriters that you know and love, I know we've brought you over to Denmark before, but that doesn't mean you're going back every year.
Oh, it's the most heartbreaking part of the job. But the good news is most of them see the long game play. And what I mean is it's chess, not checkers. It's chess. What we do is we bring 50% new and 50% returning, and we rotate them. So what we're finding is that when so-and-so doesn't come back a year, when we bring them the next year, ticket sales go up.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we're trying to make a profit so that we can continue to do this. We're not trying to get rich by any means. But in order to keep going, I'll give you an example. It was $253,000 every single year to do this festival. And for the first 3 years, we lost all of that.
Wow.
All of that.
Wow.
So to break even in the third year and hopefully make a little profit. Now you see, we have to get recouped. And then beyond that, we still want to bring the integrity of that show. And so again, it's a smaller guarantee because, you know, the flights and the accommodations, basically per writer, it's between a $5,000 and $7,000 package per writer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think there's something to be said for going to the person that you're telling, I'm not having you back this year.
Right.
Even though this is easier said than done, you say to them, remember how excited you were when I told you the first time I was bringing you to Denmark? Doesn't another songwriter just like you deserve that same phone call to get that news for the first time that you're going to go to Denmark and play? And this is it could be someone who's never played outside the United States, period. And I'm even counting Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we were in a casual conversation the other day. We had gone up and done a Nashville Nights, a Crooner Circus takeover in Cincinnati, Ohio. And my friend Noah, who's been to Denmark, was walking down the cobble streets there in Odense, where we do the festival, and had the moment where he was like, where he said, it was my music that brought me here. That is what it is all about, Bruce. Mm. That's what it's about. When I realized that feeling that I had, when I knew that my words had carried me across an ocean, that was happening with these other songwriters, that is the gold. That is the beauty of it.
Yeah, because now you come back to when I asked earlier about the guy or the gal that's sitting somewhere saying, I don't know, should I move to Nashville? Should I give up music? And that thing that you're continuing to do because you love it, you love it, you love it, you love it. You might even move to Nashville because you love it so much.
Yeah.
Now here you are sitting on a stool that's on a stage in Denmark.
Let's go. You just nailed it. That's what it's about, my friend.
Now hold my hand on this one.
Sure.
Is there a publishing company that falls under the Nashville Nights umbrella? Do I have that right?
Okay. It's a doozy, you know, but there is three separate entities involved. But yes, there is a publishing company to answer your question directly, but it's divided in this type of faction. Song Fever and Nashville Nights Denmark are an association defined by my business partner, Stephen Mork, in Denmark specifically. Then here domestically in the United States, we have Nashville Nights Entertainment and Touring, which has two legs. There is a publishing leg and there is a touring leg in the United States that is the LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one obviously is a traditional publishing company, and then the other is the songwriter touring that we're going to start domestically.
But I thought you said there's three.
Well, the third is the Stephen. I'm involved in that, but right. The domestic leg is separate from what Stephen does.
But now just let's keep focusing on the publishing, because what I don't want to happen is people to say, oh, so if Blue picks me to be part of Nashville Nights, that means that I can get publishing?
Yeah, not the case at all. No, what that is a traditional publishing company called Nashville Nights that would sign a writer, which we are looking to do. We have one in our sights, and myself and the backer, who is Jim Kaufman, who started the Song Factory, which was a very successful publishing company. They had Dustin Lynch, John Party, Ashley McBride, myself, Olivia Rudine, Larry McCoy. He's my backer with Nashville Nights and my partner. So completely separate from being invited to go to this festival.
Ah, okay. So I like that description, because it also speaks to, at the same time, just because you do get invited to the festival doesn't mean that we might offer you a publishing deal.
Correct.
You could.
Could. I mean, I hope it happens. I hope somebody wows me with like, wow, and that we have built ourselves to the place that it's like, let's give that guy a publishing deal.
Let's just stay on the subject of people who get asked to play.
Sure.
Are you going out and handpicking, like you have to know the person? Someone can't send you a cold call email and say, I heard your interview, or I found Nashville Nights on Instagram. How do I play?
Actually, they can.
They can.
And we do review those. Every single submission is reviewed. And the Nashville Nights DK, okay, on Instagram is one way that you can submit. And then, of course, the website, nnisf.org. That's our festival. There's also an application process there. But really, I have been in town 20 years, and I have been a huge supporter of the Freak Show, a huge supporter of everything that happens at the Listening Room, a huge supporter of Porch Pickers, a huge supporter of all things that go on at the Live Oak, the Grindhouse Writers Night there, Smash Farm. I mean, I can just name all these great writer nights, and I love going out because I'm a songwriter. So really, I see somebody that's amazing, and I'm like, ooh, great. And then, or somebody in our group, like, for example, we're making an offer to Russell Sutton this year because he popped off. I mean, he's got two number ones under his belt now. I mean, let's go. So that's how it happens.
But I like that you just mapped all that out, because what I don't want people to do is convince themselves it's an old boys network, it's Blue and all his friends, and you're saying, no, I'm
not
discovering people that I'm just seeing for the first time at his writer's night, or we're finding people who are just contacting us through social media and going, how do I not know this person?
Here's a great example. My dear friend Scott Sean White, who just got him some big old Cody Johnson cuts and has just taken off, sent me a text yesterday, says, hey, guess who wants to go to Denmark? I'm like, who? Bruce, it's one of my heroes, Radney Foster. Of the old band Foster and Lloyd, and then also Radney had a great career as an artist and is on about every song you've ever loved in your entire life. Raining on Sunday with Keith Urban. So that's how I find out who wants to go. And I'm like, are you kidding? Let's see if we can't make that happen. So that's
By the way, I'd
too.
Be remiss if I didn't mention, Blue just said Scott Sean White. He was on this show back on episode 431.
Love that
so
guy.
I will put a link to his episode also so that you can go back and hear that one if you never did. Wonderful conversation that I was able to have with him. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, Blue, to talk about Radio Sobro. I've mentioned twice that we're recording on location here in Nashville at the Radio Sobro Studios, but you're the conduit and you have brought Radio Sobro in as a strategic alliance partner for Nashville Nights too.
So I have to refer to our earlier part of the interview. I drew Kyle as a champion to me. And that's why I have such mad respect for Kyle, because it was through a mutual friend that we have, Ralston Wells, who also does a songwriter night and has been to Denmark with us, developed a company that I partner with him in called Lines and Rhymes, where we actually write a song with the audience. Whole other interview. We'll talk about that later. But that's what led me to Kyle's door. And it was when we met, it was like you and I, Bruce. It was that immediate, I knew I had a friend for life, and I knew that somewhere down the road, we were going to do big things together. And it was probably 5 or 6 years ago that we actually met. And again, acquaintances until we weren't. And when it turned the corner, I was doing a show at the Listening Room, and ironically enough, Kyle was the guy that bought me my last beer that I ever drank. I'm 3 years and a couple of weeks sober now, and it's a story we love to tell. But he's that guy. And what I mean, as we developed our relationship, Kyle and I really got into some great business conversations about how Radio Sobro could be a platform for Nashville Nights and how Radio Sobro could benefit, because I'm constantly finding great new artists and talent that would help his radio program. And the real kicker, because they are an internet-based radio station, they can spin stuff that I create and content that I create and their own content to our friends in Denmark during traffic hours. It's just, there is so many serendipitous God pieces, if you will, falling into place in that relationship that now we are forming an alliance with yourself, with Radio Sobro, with also a new booking agency that's coming on board, that we are becoming a juggernaut with outlet platforms all to help the songwriter.
And let's dumb it down to the simplest
Sure.
commonality in this, which is, you are taking a bunch of Nashville writers over to Denmark, and Radio Sobro is only playing music by Nashville writers. So there, it's too perfect, the synergy, that it would almost be a crime if Nashville Nights and Radio Sobro weren't partners.
Right. And then adding your flavor into the mix, where these interviews, you know, it's like I told Russell Lee, some of the guys that we are connecting over these next couple of interviews that you'll be doing, how well you prepare for these interviews, because you have an understanding of who I am as a songwriter, you know, as a man, as a person, as a business person. And I'm excited because that's where that partnership benefits all three of us, through the new artists that Radio Sobro finds, through songwriters that I find. We connect, and then you get great in-depth interviews. It's just, it's that perfect storm, if you will.
Well said. Well said. We're going to close with another song that Blue co-wrote, one called Home Sweet Highway and performed by Ashley McBride. Blue, before I let you go and I play that track, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
The story is wonderful. It was right after Ashley had signed with Q Prime, her management company. Now, Q Prime manages Eric Church, the brothers Osborne. They've got a roster that is just magnanimous, and now including Ashley McBride. And so we were on a 10-day run, and the last 3 days of that run, we were going to open for I say we, she was opening for Brothers Osborne. I was out on a riding trip just to be with my sister, my best friend, and it just her and her guitar. And we had stopped at a fueling station, and I had gone in and paid, and she had topped off the truck. I was walking back out. I looked at her. I said, "You ready to go, babe?" And she went, "Yep, home sweet highway." And both of us immediately stopped, wrote it down, and then went and had this amazing weekend with the Brothers Osborne and completely forgot about the hook. Fast forward a year and a half later, and our friend CJ Field had come down from Massachusetts. I get a call, get invited into the writing session, and Ashley was like, "You know, I found this in my hook book. Do you remember blah, 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 Home Sweet Highway?" And I was like, "Oh, I do." And CJ, without missing a beat, literally just "Dreaming About You is Keeping Me Up at Night." And he spit out the entire verse. I don't think we changed a letter, let alone a word. And then we jumped on that chorus together and knocked out the second verse. And it's that song about, you know what? If I'm going to go out as a troubadour, I hope it's on the road somewhere, you know, home sweet highway. So that's the story behind the song.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And I bet you have lots of songs, as fascinating as that story is, of where, yeah, I get ideas all the time, Bruce, but I'm not going to develop it into a full song at that moment. And you tuck it away and you usually go back to it. But this one was how long? You think you said a year?
It was almost 2 years. It was a year and a half. It was almost 2 years before we revisited that hook again.
So do you remember that the song was finished in that one write?
Yeah. So in other words, we talked about how great the hook was when we got in the truck.
Sure, sure.
But then life goes on.
Yeah.
And obviously Ashley's career exploded, which was wonderful because that means mine did too, with the cuts on the records and stuff. But it's just one of those, the magical hooks stick around. Mm. No matter how old they are, you'll see that person again when you haven't seen them in a while. And boy, the first thing that comes to the front of your mind is, hey, do you remember we were talking about, like, wow. I could give you examples with different artists that I've worked with that I see them and it's like, hey, we need to get together and write X, Y, or Z.
Oh my gosh. But I imagine that's part of, I talk a lot in the show about the songwriter brain, that you just can never turn it off.
Never.
But that's a different side of it. That's a different side of the songwriter brain, is kind of like people who are visual learners.
Correct.
And so you look at that person and you associate them with something that's coming
exactly
from the songwriter
right.
brain, and you go, what are we waiting for?
Yeah,
let's develop
that's
that
exactly
hook.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's also an interesting lesson in how you set your writing appointments, and it might be, I saw so-and-so, hadn't seen him or her in 2 years, and that part of my songwriter brain kicked in, and the next thing you know, we had a write scheduled for, you know, 2 days later.
I would dare say, honest to goodness, Bruce, that's probably how 40% of my writes get set.
Really?
I run into somebody, I've been here a long time, 20 years, hadn't seen him in a few years, and I remember just loving on him and that initial energy, or they'll walk up to me and say, do you remember this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's good. Hang on, let me shoot you my next available. So Nashville.
Wow. Great lessons all, as I knew they would be. Wonderful to have you back on the show. Congratulations. It breaks my heart to hear that the 23 singles and not a penny. Congratulations on the lesson. And the way that Nashville Nights is blowing up, congratulations on that too.
Thank you. And again, they're beneficial. I get to play them out. I have a lot of advantages of having those singles, but it's just an interesting dynamic. And thank you for giving me the platform to talk about.
Yeah. And let's face it, there are people out there that are going, I'll take 2 or 3, never mind 23. So there's also that.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Absolutely.
It doesn't pay the bills, but
right.
You know, it's not the worst feeling in the world.
It's strong street cred, that's for sure.
It's not the worst feeling in the world to put your head on the pillow and go, 23?
It's an honor.
I think I'm doing pretty good. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate
it. With that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar player Blue Foley. Do visit bluefoley.com to get taken to his link tree. As I mentioned before, I will put a link to bluefoley.com on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard him talking about Nashville Nights. There are websites dedicated specifically to all of that, and you can click over to those from the corresponding entries on his link tree as well. Remember to look for the Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube logos, the links, at the bottom of the link tree, so you can follow and engage with him through one or more of those. For that matter, tell Blue you heard him and a couple of the songs that he co-wrote on Now Hear This Entertainment. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Blue and I. And I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, what has just been 10 years as of February 17th without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 525. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with the Ashley McBride song that Blue just talked about. This is called Home Sweet Highway.
Dreaming about you is keeping me up at night. Need stand put shoes I'm wearing don't fit me right. I think I'm losing myself. It's a slow bleed. I've been missing you. Oh, you're missing me. Home sweet highway. Oh, won't you roll? I'll ride with you like a rolling stone. If I have it my way, Lord, when I go, I'll go on this home. Truck stop.